In other words, we'll talk our way out of anything. Sifaseinu itanu, our lips are with us. Mi adoin lanu, who is more powerful than us? Okay, let's see these two pasukim, pasuk Dal and pasuk Kei. Let's see the Mitzudah is David. The Mitzudah says, Yachres Hashem ispalol, sheyachres Hashem esbal sifsei halakos. This is a very interesting expression. Lips that are smooth. Smooth lips. What does it mean, smooth lips? The haloshoin hamedaberes tevarim chashuvim v'yikorim b'chdei l'ramois. Lips and a tongue, and may Hashem cut off, cut them down, the lips that are smooth, a loshoin, a tongue that speaks gedoi lois. The Mitzudoi Sion says something very interesting, what it means by the word gedoi lois. Devarim chashuvim v'yikorim. A tongue that says words that are important and precious. So in other words, someone that says something very, very good, there's value in what the person says, but the purpose, the goal, the mission, is liramois, is to deceive. That requires more explanation of what it means over here by the word gidoy lois. Okay, anyway, let's see over here with the next pasuk. Pasuk Kei in the Mitzudas David, Lil Shoneinu, on page 102, in the Mitzudas David, on page 102, Lil Shoneinu, Bil Shoneinu hamdaberes gidoy lois, with our tongues. That speaks Gidolois, Nagbir al Kulam, we will prevail. Kinuchal l'ramoisam, we'll be able to deceive. Sifaseinu itanu, halois, sifaseinu b'rishuseinu, our lips are in our possession. V'nuchal l'daber bochem divrei sheker, hipuch mashe baleiv. We're able to trick, we're able to use them and to overcome what's truth. Mi yi'odon lanu, litzavois l'bal l'daber ki im hadavar shebaleiv. Unbelievable over here how the Mitzvah Stavah translates these words, that a person says to himself that no one can hold me back. A person has free will to speak something that is Sheker. The focus of the Mitzvah Stavah is Sheker. In his heart, he knows what is MS, and with his lips, there's nothing holding him back from saying words that are completely false. And there's no way to hold the person back. Why do you say that today? There is. Say they have a... Today, they have a lie detector. Okay, a lie detector. A person says a lie, they can pick up with a computer, with signals. There are people that they're professionally trained to look at a person's mannerisms and to see how they move their eyes, how they move their hand, and they can immediately detect the person is lying. So it's interesting that today there's incredible sophistication in being able to detect a lie. How will they understand this? Pasuk over here says, the way the Mitzvah Stavah learns, no one can hold us back. In our heart, in my heart, I know the emes. But I will move my lips and I will say Sheker. And there's no one can hold me back from that can prevent me, and no one can know. Today we really do know. Today we really do know, and someone that's professionally trained, he can detect. So how do we understand this? So the answer has to be that if you are the trainer, if you're the person who knows the science, you can probably train yourself to outsmart the machine. Okay, if you know how the lie detecting machine works, practice. Practice outsmarting the lie detecting machine. If you know what?
There are tricks how to do it.
Sure, there are tricks how to do it. Yeah.
They say if you put a pin or a pebble in your shoe, and they ask you a question, you direct your pain to that, you like step on the pin or move yourself, then your heart will not do what it's supposed to do when you're lying.
Interesting. If you cause yourself pain.
If you cause yourself pain, you can blow away the.
Fascinating.
The
I'm sure there are YouTube videos. A lot of YouTube videos teaching you how to outsmart the lie detector machine. So you have to basically say is that if this David HaMelech said it, if David HaMelech is saying these words, and the Mitzudas David explains these words to him, is that a person can lie, and no one he can get away with it. No one knows but Hashem. We have to assume that he knew something that today's modern scientists do not know. Like you're saying over here, if you really know how to control your, to outsmart the system, you can get away with it. You're going to get away with it in this world, but you can't get away from Hashem. Hashem is the one who knows what is in the heart of a human being. Let's see the Rashi on these two psukim. Rashi pasuk dalit. Rashi pasuk dalit on page Lewis on the Rashi one short Rashi pasuk him on page 102. Lil shaydenu nagdir, bil shaydenu niskaber. With our tongues, we will prevail. Okay, let's see the Memori Chazal. Memori Chazal on the other page. On pasuk dalit. Here on page 102, on the bottom of the page. Okay, on the bottom of the page it says, Yachres Hashem kol sifsei chalakos, Lashoyin a tongue, midaberes gidoilois, Amar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanin, Ma takunas shol masapi lashon hara. This is a very interesting Gemara. Okay, different opinions. What is the solution? Over here the Gemara is discussing to do teshuvah. If a person was nichshol in speaking lashon hara, what is he to do to repent? So the Gemara tells, it's very interesting, the Gemara tells there, it depends who you are. The teshuva for Lashon Hara all depends on your skill set. Therefore, in Talmid Chacham, if a person is a Talmid Chacham, which means he's basically capable, has a mind that where he's able to study Torah, that is the ultimate solution. In Talmid Chacham, hu ya'asoik ba'Torah. Why? So obviously, Torah is the all inclusive cure for everything. There's some type of magic about studying Torah that somehow conditions a person, it affects a person's psyche to come to his senses to know what is correct, what is not correct. It is a tremendous koyach. Okay, people will be talking about Ashar Shinagach HaSapara. Why is it, I always mention this, what does a person gain? No, I always like to tell this idea, but it's in the evening, and the person comes home from work, and if he wants, he can sit down and watch television, can watch a movie, and the movie and the television is brilliant. You cannot deny the fact, Chochma Bo'amin Tamin. If someone tells you there is wisdom among the nations, believe it. Some of these, I'm talking about the clean television shows, the things that have no averus, the ones that are clean, there's incredible brilliance, there's incredible talent out there in the world. There are people who have talent in acting, people who have talent in writing, screenplay, and special effects, and it's not for nothing that it's a $1 trillion business, the entertainment business. And a person can sit home at night and can, you know, enjoy themselves. And at the same time, many people decide to go to shul and learn a daf gemara. And what do you learn a daf gemara? Ashar shenogach esapar. An ox gores a cow. There's no special effects. There are no big actors. And yet, many people will tell you they get more sipuk hanefesh. They get more satisfaction about learning about the ox that gored a pregnant cow. And 5 minutes later, you find the Uber, the fetus, lying on the floor in the dust. And the question is, who is responsible for this? Really? You're going to tell me that you get more satisfaction learning what it says in the Gemara, what it says in Rashi, what it says in Tosfos, what it says in the Rishonim, than going and watching some multi-million-dollar production where people have invested $500 million in some, I don't know, crazy amounts of money in producing some film which is done with incredible chachma? Can it really be of more satisfaction? The answer is yes. Why? How could it possibly be? Because there's something divine. There are many answers to this question. One answer is that the words of the Gemara are emes. The movie is not emes. It's fantasy. It's not emes. A teeny mashu of emes can penetrate a person's neshama infinitely more than most spectacular multi-million dollar production that's not emes. Emes koi, shikru loy koi, and Perez's neshama is tuned to appreciate that. Number two, put that aside, there's just something divine about Hashem's Torah, which somehow shakes up a person, changes his outlook, it changes his perspective, changes his midos. That's just how it is. And the person is blessed to have a mind that is able to concentrate to a degree, to learn Divrei Torah, he's in a very good place. Because Rachman Lutzan, there are many people out there that just don't have the mind for it. They just don't have the ability to learn it off the mind. It's very, very sad. Their mind is just not clear. We don't have the patience, we don't have the zitzlish. And a person who has a need for almost anything, the first solution is, if Hashem has blessed you with the ability to study Torah, you have that potential, then you're very, very lucky, because that can be a super vitamin to solve almost every problem that you have, to a degree, of course. And that's what it says over here. It's incredible. The first thing is, a person is a talmud chacham, which in this context obviously means he is a person that has the ability to learn Torah, and he has now a problem because he spoke Lashon Hara and his neshama needs some fine-tuning. He should delve into Torah. Yasek ba Torah. It doesn't say he should learn Sefer Chofetz Chaim. It doesn't say that. A person has a big problem with his mouth and speaks gossip. It doesn't say anywhere that he should take out Sefer Chofetz Chaim, not his Lashon Hara, take out Chofetz HaLevavos, Mesillas Yesharim. It doesn't say that. It says learn a Daf Gemara. Learn a Daf Gemara, and that will be very effective in helping a person overcome this difficult Yetzer Hara of Lashon Hara. Now, Im Rachman,
I just want to twist that a little. It doesn't have to be a Daf Gemara, it could be Chumash
Rashi. Absolutely. Okay, I didn't even go that way. I just meant to learn Torah. Correct, you are correct. Now, the Im Le'olam Yilmud Adam Masha Liboy Chofetz. Persh always learn whatever his heart's desire. The im amo aretzu. If a person rachman l'stam is nam aretz, he does, which means he doesn't have that ability. Then yashvil daita. Okay, so then a person should humble himself, work on the midah of anava. Shenemar v'selef ba shever beruach. Now this pasuk is really the continuation of the beginning of the pasuk, which talks about a person's tongue. It talks about the koyach dibur. And it says, since we'll come across the beginning of the pasuk in a moment, but it basically means the person that knows what to do with his lips is in good shape. Ba, the subject of the word ba is the tongue. A person who has abused his tongue. The word selef means corruption. A person has taken his koyach hadibur and he has abused it by using the koyach hadibur to speak lashon hara and cause other people harm. Shever beruach. The solution is he should break his spirit. He should humble himself. Period. Okay, so that's this is what the first opinion says. We're dividing the world into two categories, into those who are talmidei chachamim and those that are not talmidei chachamim. The talmidei chachamim have a very simple solution: just learn Gemara, learn Torah, learn Torah. Torah is magic. It does wonders. Yeah, you see, you mentioned very good, Dr. Stern, you mentioned the Chumash and Rashi. We always say this over, is that in Rucham Levav, it's a person who is suffering from emunah. Person, he has issues with emunah. Just issues. He doesn't feel that, you know, whatever his issues are. Sometimes you have with teenagers, you have with all different types of people, and everyone has issues. So the issue in Rucham Levav, it's what to do. What should this person do? What's the solution? So I think he said two things. Number one, he said you need to have emunah to have emunah. It's a tough problem when a person suffers from emunah. And that's a very profound statement. Emunah, you have to have emunah to have emunah. And the second thing he said, or maybe it was the first thing, is learn Chumash and Rashi. Now, just learn the parasha Shavua. The Eile Hamishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem Beloy Arkoy. Just learn Chumash Rashi. There is something that is divine about Chumash and Rashi. Just learning Chumash Rashi, the simple translation of the words, to spend time Chumash Rashi, magically. There's no rhyme or reason. There is no logic behind it. There is just a divine hidden power in Chumash Rashi that fills up a person with emunah in Hashem. Exactly what you said. Love that for tomorrow. Chumash Rashi is essential. It is the raw elements of emunah and yadus are all in Chumash Rashi. Every single principle of Judaism is in Chumash Rashi. It's in there, somewhere in between the words. And the more a person accustoms himself to learn Chumash Rashi, he's filled with emunah. Here, it's exactly what the Gemara says. If a person is blessed with a mind that he can concentrate and he can devote himself to spend a period of time to study, to learn Torah, this, even though it's not logical, you'll go to a secular psychologist. They'll tell you, what's it going to do for you? What? If you read Shakespeare, you're going to be, no longer the student Lashon Hara. You're going to read a novel. You're not going to speak Lashon Hara. It'll tell you ridiculous. So you're going to go study Torah. It's going to make a difference. Why is learning the Daf Gemara, learning Chumash Rashi, any different than reading Shakespeare? What's the difference? Well, that's the problem. A person that doesn't have a mood, a person that's not a religious person will say just that. A person that is a religious person knows that there is something which cannot be explained with words. It is completely beyond the realm of logic and science and nature. The sanctity that is inherent in, imbued in the words of the Torah have an incredible effect on a person's neshama to change him. And not every person has that ability to concentrate, to sit down for a significant period of time, whatever that may be, put away the phone, put away all the distractions. The distractions today are just awesome. And to put those distractions away for a few moments to concentrate, this does wonders. And Rachmana Litzlan, the person that does not have that ability, he needs another solution. And over here the Gemara is saying the second best thing to do is focus on humility. Humility, which is pretty difficult, not so easy. Next, now we come to a different approach. The different approach over here is Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chanina, he disagrees. We're on page 102. We're on 102, Pasuk Dal, on the very bottom of the page. The very bottom, Likute Shas, the Midrash HaTanoim, Pasuk Dali, the first wide line. The second opinion, Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chanina, Omer, Siper Kvar Lashon Hara, Ein Loi Ta'akon. He takes a real hard line. He says, sorry, you want to do Teshuvah? You already spoke Lashon Hara? Sorry, there's nothing we can do for you. Learning Torah is not going to be a solution. It's already too late for you. Shekvar Kirasoi David B'Ruch HaKodesh Shenema Yachris Hashem Kol Sifsei Chalokos Loshem Deres Gedolos. You're done. It's incredible what a hard line he takes. Rabbi Yachav Rabbi Chanina, if you already spoke Lashon Hara, then we can't help you. You're already doomed. You have already been cut off. Only thing we can do is preventive medicine. Okay, that is a big topic. That's Exparsha. V'rapo yirapei. This Exparsha. V'rapo yirapei. There are many interesting Mamori Chazal about v'rapo yirapei, double expression. Preventive medicine. After the person already gets the disease, it's too late. But person should do things to take precautions. And that's what it says. Elamat takanoso shelo yavo lidei lashon hara. Im talmud chacham u'yashbel mutar v'im amo aretzu yashbel daitei. So he says that these two takanos are only to prevent the medicine. Shenemar v'selef ba, person who has corrupted. Ba means the tongue. Is koyach adibur shever beruach. The only solution is to break your spirit. So this is a very profound Gemara, because. We have a principle in Judaism of forgiveness. And I found it very, very fast. I was watching for a few moments yesterday. The world is on the brink of World War III. And it was very fascinating, this whole episode, where the President of the United States gave a press conference, and there's one reporter that he has a whole ASIC with. His name is Dorsey. Is Jack Dorsey his first name?
No, that's a different guy.
What's Dorsey?
Peter Ducey.
Peter Ducey? Okay, he likes to always always ask some interesting questions. And the President of the United States, he was caught on a hot mic, and he said nivelpeh. He said some nivelpeh. The President of the United States did not come out looking good, at least from a Yiddish perspective. At least from, this was really bad. This was really bad, at least from a Yiddish perspective, okay? He said some real nasty nivelpeh about this person on live television, the whole world. Probably already millions of people already saw this. Many millions. So, it was very, very, you can learn, what to learn from everyone in this world.
You know about the
follow-up? Yes. Last night. So he called him. So first of all, before the president even called him. Before he even called him, I was blown away. This guy was a guy. I'm assuming he's a guy. He didn't make anything out of it. So if it was me, I would say, yeah, oh, the president. You take advantage of the president's slip up and make a big deal. He just brushed the, right away. They asked him immediately after. Yeah, he just said a call out, like he totally brushed it aside. Then they knew in the White House this is going to be it looked very, very bad. It's unprecedented, such a thing. So the president himself, they got his number. He called him directly, the reporter. Now, he didn't apologize. He just said, oh, it's nothing personal. It's nothing personal. Had a conversation.
Nothing personal.
Pal. So then Hannity interviewed the reporter, and he said to him, and they reviewed everything I just said. Then he said to him, did the president apologize? He asked him, the Penn Mullen. Millions of people saw this interview with Hannity and the reporter. His mom says, what to learn? Torah. There's Torah to learn from this. And he said, did the president apologize to you? So he gave like some political answer. Okay, the reporter is like a politician. He says, he basically said he did not. Basically, he didn't say those words. So Hannity said, did he apologize? Nachmal, he asked him again.
That's exactly what.
And basically, the answer was, he didn't say those words, he didn't apologize, but by me, it's as if he apologized, and Adkan, I don't want to make anything out of this. The buck stops here. Now, I was blown away. I was literally blown away, because if it was me, I would take advantage of this. And I would.
But he wants to get into the next press conference.
I don't know.
And he will never be listened to.
I don't know if that's so true. I hear what you're saying. I don't think that.
He didn't want to pick a fight.
It's a limud musa. Listen, he's a guy. There's a bit of lo sechanim. Now let him go praise the guy for anything.
What you're saying is he showed a little class, a little grace.
Exactly. He showed class. Something that this doesn't exist in this country anywhere anymore.
He didn't show class.
He did. In his degree, he didn't. He didn't make a big deal. What are you talking about? He certainly showed class. It's a tremendous Musa Haskell. It was like a Mesilas Yesharim. A Mesilas Yesharim for the whole world to watch. It was an incredible Lilith Musa. I felt it was an incredible Lilith Musa. Over here, you're learning over your Mamish this Hashkacha today. The Sifse Chalokos. Lashoyim Medaberes Gedoilos. Talking over here about the Koyach HaDibur and what happened yesterday in front of the whole world. And the person who was the victim, he could have taken this, could have made out of this. Ooh, you know. And it really blows my mind. It really blows my mind how he totally deflected the whole thing and tried very, very much not to make a big deal about it. There's what to learn from that.
Well, it was important for what?
Fox News. He reports for Fox News. He's a famous reporter. If you follow the politics,
that's a Trump headquarter.
He's a favorite person to pick on. This guy. All right, let's over here. Look at this. Look at these words. Look at these words over here. Over here, there's an incredible machlekes between these two amoraim regarding the sin, the damage of lashon hara. According to the first opinion, a person who has already spoken lashon hara can still do teshuva. The second opinion says once those words have left his lips, it's hopeless. There is no takana. The pasuk says yachres. David HaMelech already cut this person off from this world. They're gone. And the only solution that we're doing over here is the preventive medication. It's ordinarily this is called teshuva. And here, according to one opinion, there's no teshuva for this. Let's go to the next one, Chazal. Tana debay. I'm now on the third line.
You can see what you said.
Right. You can't take it back.
Heard it, and this one told
the whole world heard it. The whole this thing over here, it's an incredible thing. It's an incredible limud hamusa about
that. No way to correct it.
Yeah.
His father also works for Fox News, so maybe that's what he...
All right, listen, obviously everyone has you have to be very careful. A guy lois sechani. This is not a, but there's what to learn. There's what to learn. Tana debay Rebbe Yishmael. Right, Kaplan, he wrote a book about Rav Mendel Kaplan. So he gave a share. He didn't speak a word of English. I think his wife was the famous Rebbe from Kaplan from the Beis Yaakov. He came to America, he was a real European. What's his name? It's a different one. Okay, I made him say this. So they wrote many years. They wrote a book, the biography of this person. He's a beloved Rebbe. I don't remember where he taught. Skokie in Philadelphia. And the boys were American boys that had no connection to him. And when he came into the classroom, he had a very hard time teaching them. So at some point, what did he do? He took out the New York Times. I think it was in the New York Times. They said. But Skokie, I don't know why they had it. Maybe it was a different paper. Maybe it was their local paper. And I guess in those days there was still kosher to read whatever it was. And he didn't speak a word of English. He didn't speak a word of English. He opened up the paper and he looked at the pictures. And he gave them a shear. He gave them a shear just based on the pictures. He was so brilliant. He looked at the front cover, let's say, of the New York Times, and he can just see from the pictures. And maybe a few words, maybe you knew a few words of English from the headlines. Just looking at the picture, he would take already his not encyclopedic knowledge of Chazal and would tell the boys the Musar to learn from what he sees in the front cover of the paper. Turn to the next page. We'll tell them what Chazal's take is on what's going on. Just by looking at the pictures in the newspaper, he can give you a Jewish perspective on current events, without even reading the article, just looking at the picture that the editor selected to accompany the article. Unbelievable. There's what to say about that. We live in a world, you learn Torah, and you can't avoid hearing, maybe you can avoid, what's going on in the world. Okay, the world is on the verge of World War III. Who knows how all this is going to play out? Maybe just nothing of a nothing, or it can turn into something very significant. Who knows what can be with this? And when you learn Chumash Rashi, you learn Daf Yomi. There are holy Torah thoughts percolating in your head, which give you a different perspective on current events. Here we're learning over here these Mamari Chazal. Mamari Chazal speak about people who abuse the Koyach HaDibur. Sometimes you abuse it in private. Sometimes you make a mistake on a hot mic and you say something which millions, probably 100 million people probably saw this already by now. You say words. You can't take them back. And you try to do damage control by getting on the telephone yourself, which is unprecedented for a president of the United States himself to pick up the telephone to go call someone. Okay, maybe Rachman al-Assad, a person dies in the war, a soldier dies, they call up to Menachem Avil. It's almost unprecedented to get on the telephone to go call up a guy on his private cell phone to call and say hello to him in order to try to pacify him. He does that, and every word that he says, we already know. It's amazing how this world works. And then the person who's the victim, what he says, his Koyach HaDibur. What he says, he wants to go now say Lashon Hara. The whole world wants to hear his take on it. And he has a different mahalach in how he wants to reply to this issue. The Koyach HaDibur is incredible.
He learned this. It's
an incredible Musa Haska. Could you imagine if we had the Chofetz Chaim here? The Chofetz Chaim will tell the Chofetz Chaim, please give us a Torah perspective on this conversation. That would be gold. That would be gold to hear the Chofetz Chaim's perspective of the koyach hadibur of man, what happened, the whole sequence of events of a conversation. We're not dealing over here with World War III. We're dealing over here with a conversation that was in front of the entire world.
Yeah, well, you might have to censor that clip for
the everything has to be censored today. You're right. Everything is only beremes. All right, let's go to the next time. Chazal, we're over here in the third line. We're on page 102 in the third line. Tanu Berav Yishmol, B'kol HaMasaper, Lashon Hara, Magdil, Avoyin, Netz, Keneged, Shosh, Averis. Lashon Hara, he's Megadil, Averis, it's evil as three sins. What are they? Avoyin, Netz, Kechav, Gilirai, Shvich, Hastam, how could it be? Ksivacha, Lashon, Medaberes, Gidoy, Lois. The word Gidoy, Lois is B'Lashon, Rabim, Uksib, Avoyin, Netz, this Maimon Chazal is being a Gzeres Shava. It says he's speaking Lashon Hara is Gidoy Lois, Chato'o Gidoy Lo by the Egel. So the Gzeres Shava, Gidoy Lois, Gidoy Lo indicates that speaking Lashon Hara is equivalent to Avoy de Zara. The Gila Rise exhibits in the passage of Ich Ese, Horo'o Hagidoy Lo. Yosef said about Aegis Matifar. Hazois, Beshvich, Hazdam, exhibits in the passage, Godol, Avoni, Minnesoy. It says this by Cain. Cain killed Hevel. He says, Godol, Avonim Nesai, Gidoy Lois. So therefore, the Gemara is saying over here, therefore when it says, Loshon Midaberes, Gidoy Lois, B'Loshon Rabim. Which Gidoy Lois? All three. Because there are three Averos Chamuros, and concerning each one of the Averos Chamuros, that can say the word Gidoy Lois. So therefore, we make this link between Loshon Har, it's Shakul Kineged, and with the Zorik, Gilerai Shri Chasavim. For the Gemara, we have a general rule that whenever a word is written by Lashon Rabin, you have no right to say more than two. Dailacha. Don't go try to expand the scope for no reason. If it says that Lashon Rabin means two, so why do you try to say it means three? God ordered this a Gidoy Lois Ematarde, only two of the three. Who says you have right to say it means all three? Sheshach Rakhine Geshtei Averos. The Gemara says, no, this is like a general basic rule in Gemara. You have to have a reason to exclude. When it says something b'loshen rabin, if you can prove to me why you're going to limit it to the bare minimum, okay, you have to have a svara. But if you don't have a svara, a proof why to limit, you have to assume by default it refers to the entire category. Everything that's called gidoy lois. And being that we have three candidates that have come forward to insist that they are the meaning of the pasuk of Gidoy Lois, we have to assume that the Zara, Lashon Hara, is Shakel Keneged, the Gimel Averois Chamuros. It's an incredible Maimon Chazal. Talking about the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni was because of Sinas Chinam. What does Sinas Chinam come about? Sinas Chinam is always related to Lashon Hara. It's always related. So it's saying in essence, so then basically, in essence, what's the difference from the Chumbay Bayis Rishon? We commonly say it's because of Avoy Dezara, Gil Yarayos, Shvichas Damin. The Bayis Sheni is Sinas Chinam. What is Sinas Chinam? How does Sinas Chinam come about? 99% of the time it's because someone says something nasty to you, and one thing leads to another. And what is that? Lashon Hara, Avoy Lashon Hara is Shakel Kineged, Avoy Dezara, Gil Yarayos, Shvichas Damin. Hakol Hoylech Elmokoyim Echot. Okay, next, let's go to the pasuk in the next Maimon Chazal. Asher amru l'shnin, nag yus v'seim ad itanu, mi adu lanu. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, I'm going further on the page, on page 102, on the bottom of the page. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zibukol, amasam l'shnin ar kilu kof abi ikar. Another thing, shenema asher amru l'shnin, nag yus v'seim ad itanu, mi adu lanu. Okay, the end of the pasuk, mi adu lanu, means there is no God. There is no God. A person that speaks Lashon Hara, there's no one listening, there's no one watching, he's a koifer be'ikar. Next, Chavetz Chaim has a field day from these psukim that he certainly does, the Chumash. So we really learned over here, if you take everything we learned together, we learned over here today, that speaking Lashon Hara is called Gidoy Lois, Keneged, the Gimel Averos Chamuros. We learned the next pasuk, it says, Mi Adon Lanu is Kofa be'ikar. And yesterday, we learned, that Lamatzech al Hashminis, this Mizmar, is said in honor of number 8. 8 is the Bris Mila, that a person who speaks Lashon Hara, this is an indication that he is loose regarding the Shmiras Habris, which is a terrible aveira, which basically he's lacking sanctity. Shmiras Habris is synonymous with Kedusha, a person living a life of sanctity, a Kodesh, a holy person. The nature, that's how the Minchas Erev explained, is the fact that these two concepts are intertwined, as we're going to learn very soon, the next pasuk of Imreis Hashem Amarois Tohorois refers to Bris Milah, and that one pasuk of Bris Milah also refers to the words that are Tohor, words of Tahara, and the Mizmah begins with Shminis, with Bris Milah. A person that has a loose tongue, it's an indication that he is lacking in sanctity. So here we have, it's incredible how powerful the Kech HaDibur is. Sanctity, number two is Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim, and number three is Kofar Bu'ikar. It's powerful concepts all coming together. Now I just want to jump ahead and just tell you a quick word before I forget. There are two things in the Torah that are very similar, Tahara and Kedusha. Right? It says by the Ketores, the Shachakta Mimeno Hodek, but there are two different concepts that you'll find come together in different areas. Tahara, purity. And then there's something called Kedusha, holiness. What is the difference between Kedusha and Tahara? It's not so easy. It's very hard to differentiate between the two. They're different ideas. But one basic idea is Kedusha is something that man makes. Man creates sanctity. Something is chol. Yeah, amadu bin kodesh l'chol. Who makes it kodesh? You make it kodesh. Zohar es yoyim ha-shavos l'kadeshoy. Man has to sanctify the Shabbos. The Shabbos doesn't have Kedusha on its own. It's what you make out of it. Tahara is something that comes from Hashem. Something that is pure is, you don't make something pure. Something that's pure is pure. If you bring Tumah, we have a tendency to defile purity. And we have to struggle to restore something back to its pristine state of Tahara. So Tahara is the natural, it's natural, it's the default. Nishama Elokai, Nishama Shnasata Bi Tehoirahi. The Nishama that was given to man by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you didn't do nothing to it. It was a gift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a Nishama into your body that is naturally in the state of Tahara.
That's what it says.
What does it say? Hashem sanctified the Shabbos. The Shabbos is not Hashem. Maybe Hashem gave it sanctity, but Shabbos on its own is not sacred. It's the seventh day. Hashem rested. Hashem went and Hashem, he sanctified the Shabbos from his perspective, and demands by Kadesh or so, and he wants us to follow in his ways and also to sanctify Shabbos. But Shabbos is part of nature. Shabbos in its raw form is just another day of the week. Hashem rested. You're sanctifying Shabbos by making Havdalah. You also say you think Shabbos ends here. This is the mark.
But you did it.
Exactly. You're supposed to do it. Exactly. There's an element of that's Kedusha. Let's look at the words on the soul. The Nisham is Kula Ruchni. The seventh day of the week is Kula Gashmi.
So what if I make Kiddush on Yom Rabbi? It's nothing.
You're wasting your time. Bracha
Levatala.
You can't be Mekadosh because there are rules. There are rules.
There's something invested in Yom HaShvi'i by Hashem.
Hashem so gives you the opportunity. There are rules to making things sacred. You can't make a chazir sacred. You can't make a chazir as a carbon. There are rules as to what you can make sacred and how you make it sacred and what time, zman, when you can make it sacred. But the word Kedusha connotes something which on its own, by default, is mundane. And you, or Hashem, must come along and invest in it, sanctity. Something which we call tahar means the default, it's pure. Don't mess it up. Don't ruin it. And unfortunately, the way of the world, the chaotic world, things that are tahar are magnets to becoming tameh. And our whole life we struggle to repurify, to restore its natural purity. Look at the neshama. Elokai, neshama, shenosata bi, tehoirehi. Why do you say, kidoshehi? It's kadosh. No, it's not. Kadosh means that my soul is mundane, and Hashem went, pressed the button, and made it kadosh. That's ridiculous. The soul was never mundane. From the moment the soul was quarried out of its makom and shemayim, it was holy from the very start, from the given. Problem is, it comes into this world, and we contaminate it. So we have to work very hard to restore its purity. Something that is kodesh means it's mundane, purely mundane. You have a cup of coffee, it's mundane. There's no kedusha. By you making a bracha, you're giving it sanctity. You're using it for a higher purpose. So you find very often these words interchange. You find I can't even give you examples now, but I think by the Ketubis, and also what's very interesting is the order. By there are certain things where you have both of them come together, and sometimes the order is first Kedusha and then Tahara. And sometimes there's Tahara and then there's Kedusha. And you have to analyze the subject and understand why the two words come together and why it's the order. And why am I telling you that? Because here, we learned yesterday that we are intermingling, here we're intermingling the Bris Milah with the Koyach HaDibur. The Koyach HaDibur is described in this Mizmar as being Tohar. We're going to learn the Pasuk soon. Imrois Hashem Amarois Tehoirois. The Koyach HaDibur, by definition, by default, is sacred. Don't abuse it. Don't contaminate it. The Bris Milah, by definition, is not sacred. It's ois bris kodesh. You have to invest time and effort to make the bris kodesh. That's why a kodesh baruch you do a bris milah. A person is not born with a bris milah. A person is born with an orla. And on Yom HaShmini, Hashem says, do a maisa, do something. Do something to remove the orla, make it kodesh, ois bris kodesh. Before the Moel does the Bris Milah, he says, Ois Bris Kodesh. Why? Because Kedusha is, you take something mundane, and you do a Maisa to make it Kodesh. The default is it's mundane. If Hashem wanted man to have a Bris Milah, why? If Hashem wanted us to have a Bris Milah, so why were we not created with a Bris Milah? Why were we created with this appendage, the Arla? The answer is, you're missing the whole point. Hashem put you into a mundane world, made you as a mundane body, in a mundane body, and Hashem wants you to sanctify your body. He wants you to go from what's the default and make it sacred. The guf is mundane, and the spitz of what's mundane in your body is the arla, the makom of taiva. And you have to discipline yourself. You have to control yourself. You have to do a maisa. You have to make it sacred. Therefore, you have to take off the arla. The koyach hadibur, it's the opposite. The koyach hadibur, vayipach be'apov nishmas chayim, vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya, leruach memalala, a creature who speaks. The koyach of life is the koyach hadibur. And the dibur, you don't have to do anything. You can do anything. The amorois Hashem, imrois Hashem, amorois tehoirois. Just don't ruin it. It's naturally pure. The avoida is to guard it. Guarding can be much, much more difficult. I only realized this very recently. Like this thing that really struck me. Every single day, three times a day, we say Ashon Asher, and we come to the end of the first bracha, and we say three things. Melech, Hashem is a king, who is an oizer, umoshia umogein. Three things. Now, what do these three things mean? Oizer, most of the commentators explain, it means Hashem helps the expression, God helps those who help themselves. Right? Everyone knows that. You start. You do your thing. And if you take the initiative and you're working, you know what? I'll help you get there. I'll make sure that all the red lights turn green. You want to go to shul, be on time, and today you're coming a little bit late. You know what? Out of nowhere, a guy's going to come pick you up and get you there. I'm going to help. You do yours. Hashem will come in and help you get where you need to go. That's called oizer. Then there's a higher madrega. What's the higher madrega? Umoshiach. A guy's locked up. He's incarcerated. How in the world is this guy going to get out? I can't do anything. I'm a prisoner. So what do you do? So, a Moshiach. Hashem has to take the initiative. So let me ask you, which one is a greater revelation of Hashem's presence? When Hashem is an Oizer or Hashem is a Moshiach? A Moshiach. Because Oizer, you're doing most of the work. Oizer, I'm doing everything. And Hashem, you know, he just throws in a bonus. He makes sure that the light turns green. Hashkacha Pratis, this guy didn't drive down the road at that moment, so that is one less car, so the light is still green, I can get through the light. Hashem, that's a lot. Oh, Moshiach! I'm locked up in prison. I'm stranded, and a miracle, someone comes to save me. Wow! That is a much, much greater revelation of Hashem's divine presence. So you would think we're going higher and higher and higher. What's the last word? Umogain. What is Umogain? Everything is good. Life is peaceful. And there are soldiers along the perimeter just guarding us that nothing should go wrong. Life is wonderful. Everything is good. We have security. The security guy most of the time is playing with his phone. Okay, I find it very funny. I go to Yeshiva every day. They have a security guard there. I always notice. Security guard is out to lunch. He just sits there the whole day on his phone. And like, I don't know what I would have to do to wake him up to get his attention. So why do they pay these people so much money? It's a very boring job. Okay, just in case. They're there just in case, right? You hope they're there just in case. It's true. You have to have a security guard. The best security is to have a guard with a weapon. They write this stuff very interesting. A weapon.
50% more to have a
weapon. Train with a weapon. Okay. Having one weapon can make all the difference. One guard with a weapon can make all the difference. But so what? It doesn't seem like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting us. That's the least. So if you would put these things in order, if you would take these three cons and put them in order, how would you order them? I would order them. First is Hashem is a mogein. Does very little. He just stands outside and makes sure nothing happens. No one ruins anything. Then the next madrega is Hashem is an oizer. Hashem helps me. God helps those who help themselves. And then the ultimate madrega is Hashem is the Moshiach. Hashem comes to the rescue when I can't do anything for myself. Wouldn't that be the logical order? What are you saying?
I always thought the three things when I say it, but the Mogain is the most big one.
Why? Why is the biggest?
Because it's protecting you before you didn't have to do anything. You didn't start and then he's emotional. No, he's protecting you before anything happens, which will happen, but it's not going to happen. It's not like the
army
come.
But you say something very deep.
Is the shield in front of you, the Mogain, more important than the Moshiach after you got stabbed, that he helps you to get better? Or is there...
You say something very deep. I want to suggest something a little bit different, but you appreciate the question.
The question.
The average person, when you put the... If you would give the average person these three things... Oizer, Moshiach, Mogain, put them in order.
And we end
work. Mogain Avraham. Mogain Avraham, right. Mogain. Put these things in order. Put them in order. I think the average person would put them in order. Mogain, Oizer, or Moshiach. Hashem, he protects. You do nothing. You just like security guard. Security guard just didn't do nothing. Then there is the Oizer. This guy is, let me help him. Let me give him a little push. Umoshiach, you're incarcerated. You got to go do Mission Impossible. Okay, Mission Impossible is the Moshiach.
But what's better, if you never even got into a problem? That's the market. You have the tsaris that I need to be Izer and Moshiach.
I know, but relative, I understand that, but relative to the Izer and Moshiach, when you want to discuss Hashem's revelation, okay, so you're saying earlier, I just want to make one other point. We're relative to Tahara. We don't begin to realize, I'm saying something a little bit different than you're saying. I always said, but we don't begin to realize the chaos in this world. We think that when everything is good, so the security guard is a very bad example. Because the security guard, Takas, does almost nothing. He sits there. He has to be there. It's extremely important that he's there. But the bottom line is, he's not doing anything. He's playing with his phone. Once in a while, he looks up, he looks around, and sees what's going on. He has to be there. Don't get misled. You pay him a lot of money. He has to be there, and he's trained. But the bottom line is, it's a very boring job. It really is. It's a very boring job. It's not a good example. Because in this world, it's not, in this world, behind the scenes, it's not a very boring job. It's an impossible job. Because we don't realize every single moment of the day, we are under attack. We are under attack. Our neshama, the koyach of Ra, the koyach of Churban, the koyach of the Yetzirah, is so intense in this world. And every single second, imagine a security guard where the whole world is trying to attack. And every single second you're fighting off another enemy. We don't see it. But that's the question. Why am I telling you this? Because when you talk about the neshama, Elokai neshama shenasata bi tehoirahi. When it comes to the neshama, what is the avoida? The avoida is to be a mogein. When it comes to kedusha, the avoida is to be an oizer and a moshiach. We are two different principles. We have tahara and we have kedusha. Tahara is the default, is it's pure. What's your avoida? Guard it. Elokai. Nishamosh nasatabi tahoirahi. So what do you want from me, Hashem? I don't want nothing from you. Your avoida is to guard it. To guard the tahara. I give you another job. I'm putting you in this world to sanctify the world. Zochores yom haShabbos lekadoshoy. There's elements ois bris kodesh. There's an infinite number of things. There are two missions a person has in this world. He has a mission with regard to tahara, and a mission with regard to kedusha. The neshama is in the category of tahara. Neshama shmasat b'tori. With regard to your neshama, your avoid is guard it. Then there are other things I put you in this world to do. There's something called Yom HaShabbos, Mekadesh the Shabbos. Your body, it's a lifelong process of sanctifying your body, and the starting point is the Bris Milah. Mekadesh, pick yourself up and do. Mekadesh is in the category of Hashem is an Oizer and a Moshiach. When I want to be Mekadesh something in this world, it's not so easy to be Mekadesh. So I need your help, Hashem. Help me, be an oizer. Sometimes I'm stuck in prison. I can't break out of my matzav. I need you, Hashem, to intervene, to help me out of it, to sanctify, to achieve something meaningful in this world. That's in the category of kedusha. And what about the mogein? That's tahara. That's a tahara. The avoida, although to us it doesn't seem like it. Maybe it does. The avoida of being on guard, not to damage your natural tahara, is a much greater effort. It's really true. Think about it. It's a much greater effort when you go through the day to be on guard that your neshama should not be defiled than to be active in being mekadesh. And therefore, it's taka true. It's oizer u'moshiach u'mogein. The avoid of oizer u'moshiach is in the category of being mekadesh. U'mogein is the category of being metayer. And it's a much more effort and yigiyah to preserve tahara than it is to sanctify something. Because if you don't sanctify, so you don't sanctify. No, you don't sanctify. Shabbos comes. Not everyone has such a holy Shabbos. Shabbos comes, no, you go to shul, lip service, you have a conversation when davening is over, you go home, you eat the food, you go to sleep, you read the newspaper, you learn a little bit. No, next Shabbos will be better. But tahara? Tahara is very dangerous. It's a very hard thing to preserve your neshama, to preserve the tahara. Mm-hmm. It's not so easy. Therefore, this mizmar, we're getting both. This mizmar is uniting the tahara and the kedusha. The mizmar starts off with al hashminis, bris mila. Bris mila is the element of mekadesh. Then we come to the amarois Hashem, amarois tehorois. But you know, the truth really is in the koyach of dibur. We'll see this. We have to really see this with more precision. The koyach of dibur. Mizukok shiv osayim, there is also an element of refinement. In the koyach hadibur, dibur is obviously something that relates to the neshama, which is tahara, but a person can speak in a much more sophisticated way. And when a person not only guards, when a person speaks, think of it like this, when a person speaks, just don't speak with nivel peh. Don't speak with nivel peh. When you speak with nivel peh, you are damaging the tahara, the imrois Hashem, imrois tehoros. Okay, I won't speak nivel peh. I won't say.
The maaseh here is a contradiction of all up to now, abnei adam, what they do with koch dibur, comparing to the what Hashem.
Where Hashem be?
Ha'elokim asa et ha'olam echas shlomo amedah.
Dikshu chishbonos rabbis.
So in what Hashem is pure, so we have to follow in to follow his ways. That's what he wants. This is the sign of the parent.
Okay, let me get that fire. Yeah.
So now we had this, and now
we have more. Absolutely. Okay, we're gonna come that. But
it also going back a little on the mugging, it now hits me more. Why it's mugging Abba.
Why?
Because the Kedusha wasn't
world there yet. The world wasn't there yet.
But he had right. Tahara.
Exactly. Avram's Avodah, Avraham did not have mitzvahs. The mitzvahs first began with Yitzchak and Yaakov. Yitzchak was meant to be a carbon. Hashem wanted, Yitzchak was an oil tamima, which was, I'm giving you my neshama, I'm going to offer my body to you. Yaakov already had a mitzvahs. Yaakov already went to Beis Medrash, Shem Ve'Ever, and this and that, and he worked. Yaakov was Mekadesh. He worked for 20 years. He sanctified the mundane through his Avodah. Avraham, as you said, Avraham wasn't in the business of being Mekadesh. He was in the business of being Metaher, preserving the Baal HaBira. Okay, now going back, when it comes to the Koyach HaDibur, the truth is Koyach HaDibur is really two elements of Koyach HaDibur. In Dibur, we have a principle of a person should not speak Nivel Peh, should not speak Lashon Hara. Don't do something with your Dibur that damages the dibur. Preserve its purity. But then there's another element of taking the koyach hadibur and elevating it with greater sophistication. And that is called shira. When a person takes his dibur, so you can just talk. I can just, you know, construct simple sentences. Dr. Seuss. We can take our Dr. Seuss and we can imitate the Dr. Seuss books, and we can dive into Hashem with just, you know, three-word sentences. Five-word, get a little bit more advanced, we have four-word sentences. Five-word sentences. You get advanced. You can take the Koyach HaDibur, and you can produce sophisticated, eloquent compositions of poetry, of song, of Shevach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Shira. That is where you're taking the dibur, which is inherently tahar. Not only are you preserving its tahara, you're being mekadesh. Where else do you have such a thing where you have both come together into fused into one? It is only in the koyach hadibur where you can take something which is inherently tahar and not just focus on preserving its tahara, but going in that element itself, that item itself, going further and being mekadesh it, doing something to it to sanctify it. Chazal actually said those words, that a person may mekadesh his dibur. The mekadesh his dibur, we have exil, ma'am chazal. And so the basic principle here is, we'll end with this, we'll do the next post tomorrow. The basic yisoid is, in Tanakh we have, in Chazal we have two completely different principles. A principle called Tahara and a principle called Kedusha. To the average person it's all the same. What's the difference? Is it Tameh, Tahar? Tahar, Kodesh, Chol, it's all the same. What's really the difference between the two terms, Kedusha and Tahara? Is a world of a difference. The word tahar connotes something that is that in its natural state is tahar. You don't have to do anything. And the classic example is the neshama. Elokai neshama shmasata bi tahari. That's the way it came from the factory. A factory reset. It came from the factory instead of tahara. Kedusha, if you do a factory reset of kedusha, it's chol, it's mundane. The factory reset is chol. Kedusha is something that you must inject into an object that is mundane. Hashem does it to Shabbos. We do it to Shabbos. We do it to many, many different things. The Bris Mila, by definition, is not tahar. There's no word anywhere in the Torah that's called the Bris Mila tahar. The essence of Bris Mila is to be mekadesh the body. Hashem created a person with a mundane orla. And Hashem said, remove the arla. Ois bris kodesh. Be mekadesh. And that is a marshal for your entire body and for the entire world. Zochor es yom ha-shabbos lekadesh. Shabbos is just a regular day. You wouldn't know the difference. It's the seventh day of the week. Doesn't seem any difference. Hashem gave it kedusha, and we follow it as we give it kedusha. Tahara is something that's pure. What is the avoida for tahara? Protect it. Be a mogging. What is the avoida for kedusha? Take the chol, be mekadesh. There's one exception. There is one item in this world where kedusha and tahara are fused into one. And that is the koyach ha-dibur. Because the koyach ha-dibur is a koyach that is divine. Vayihi ha-adam lenefesh chaya, targum l'ruach memalala. It's a chelik of the neshama, the koyach ha-dibur. So it's pure in its essence. What's the person's avoida? Protect it. Just don't speak nivul peh. Don't speak lashon hara, yechilus. Don't abuse it. Preserve its tahara. But you can also go further. You can take your dibur. You can develop your dibur. You can learn the sophistication of the dibur and use your dibur and use it as a tool to create kedusha. A shira is kadosh. The shirois have kedusha, not just tahara. Because tahara just demands, and Rosh Hashanah, you do two, 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 two. Those sounds that you blow on Rosh Hashanah, those are sounds of tahara. Those are not sounds of kedusha. Mm-hmm. Because it's just it's raw. It's a raw sound. Two, 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 two. Rosh Hashanah is tahara. Shira is kedusha. You've taken the koyach, you've developed it. You've worked on it, you've injected effort L'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make it into something significant. That's Kedusha. Dibur go, and this Mizmar vacillates between Kedusha and Tahara precisely because this Mizmar is focused on the Koyach HaDibur. Don't speak Gaiva, Lashon Chalokos. Don't take your tongue and abuse it. Preserve its Tahara. But as we're going to go on further now, we find it. Okay, we didn't get the pasuk. Mi zukok shiv osoyim is refinement, which implies.
So it's the zahav tahor. Wasn't always zahav tahor. Zahav, which is mixed.
You have to work on
with dirt. So in order to
you have to work on it
to preserve it, to bring it back,
to make it better.
You have to take remove it out.
Okay. Believe that we will continue tomorrow. Let's take a short break.
Today is your side, Nancy Fly, mother-in-law.